Okay, you're very welcome back to the last hour of the 9 till noon show for this week, where we try and wind down a little bit. We talk about a lot of serious stuff and important stuff over the course of the week, but then it comes time to then where you want to ease yourself into the weekend, and that's what we do. It's called That's Entertainment. It's what Michael Leddy does. It's what Fionnuala Rabbit does. Michael Leddy, Majin Y, how are you keeping?
Hello,
good
Greg.
To have you in studio with us.
Hello,
and,
Greg Hughes.
Just arriving. Like a late package that you've really been waiting for.
Wow. What does he want? He's definitely.
It's Fionnuala Rabbit. You know what I want, a pay rise.
I was going to say, is it staff evaluation time?
No, listen, come here. I'm not. Cancel that. That was a joke. I don't want any retort. Let's just leave it at that, all right?
No, not retorting.
Not this time. Okay. It's great to have you both in again. It feels like ages since I've sat in with you. It's between the jigs and the reels. How are you keeping, Michael? How are you, by the way?
Great.
I had a great all week watching Star Trek Picard every night. I saved up all the episodes, so I had a brand new episode every night.
Which is not like
heaven.
You.
Because this is heaven for me.
Yeah, but you in the past have sort of gone out of your way to watch them
drag things
weekly.
Out, yeah.
You know, the new series. I know you have your thing with your own series.
Yeah.
So why did you want to binge this one like that?
I watched the first couple of episodes and it was obvious that it was going to work best binged, because it was all happening like 24, you know, it was all happening immediately after each other. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to sit out 6 weeks, save the last seven episodes and watch them over the last week. It was the right thing to do. It was great fun.
Okay.
Great fun.
I'm going to start with Fionnuala, if that's all right with you, because Fionnuala has watched Luther, the Fallen Son, and I watched it during the week, you see. And I want to ask you about The Hunt for Raoul Moulder, because I'm going to watch it as a film. Do you know that?
Yes,
sort of
I watched it 3 hours,
which is exactly what you've been doing.
Yeah.
So we'll get to you on that first, but let's start with Luther, the Fallen Son, because I went into this not knowing, Fionnuala, what quite to expect, and I enjoyed it. The story.
Were you a Luther fan?
Oh, yeah, watched it all. I like him. I always thought he'd make a great James Bond.
Mm.
I think, having watched The Fallen Son, and I mean this with respect, that I think it might be too late for him now, if you know what I mean. I know he plays a different type of character, but
age-wise, you mean?
I think so, yeah. I and Daniel Craig was, you know, he's not a young chap. I just
Well,
felt
Daniel Craig aged into it.
Yeah,
you know, it's one thing to age into it a bit. It's another thing to actually be, you know, of a particular age when you start
come into
off,
it, yeah.
You start off in it. Because it's less kind of believable or whatever that's going
to
happen.
Unless they wanted to go with a veteran Bond.
I know, I'm pushing them.
I feel like I'm on QVC now. What's going on?
And they're free.
It's only those watching that will understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So sorry, we'll get to that. Probably what feels like it's going to be a shameless plug.
Yes, 100%.
But that's El Presidente. I'm the owner of the station. Hey, come here. If you can't do it.
I can fight it.
But I have to say, I didn't enjoy this as much as I thought I was going to. I really enjoyed Luther as it was going on. It's very good I didn't really binge it. It was one of those ones where you kind of watched a season rather than binge the whole, I think it's three seasons that were prior to this. But going into this, it's a lot. And you're kind of like going, oh God, you must know somebody else that could give you a hand. You know, that kind of way. It's like basically what this is it's kind of, there's been a story that's sort of been going through the past. It was in the previous one that was on and that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, there was a criminal that they were after. Next minute, then they didn't get him in the last one, because if anybody watches Luther, there's always overarching as well as kind of individual stories that are going on. So this was part of an overarching story that was going on earlier on that never really was fully resolved. There was always a few threads hanging. So what they've done now is they've come back and they've done that, and they've done it as a movie. I found the movie a little bit long. For his kind of like,
of
you know,
the things
the only one that can make this happen.
But of all of the things, that its length wasn't the problem for me. The storyline, maybe it's very Lutheresque. It was really far fetched, and then they're all in the snow in his jacket and.
The exact same outfit he wears all the time.
Yeah, and the jacket's like the cape. Which I thought was really quite interesting. And I think at the end of it, there's kind of a nod to the James Bond speculation, I felt, if you know what I mean. Maybe that's...
Well, it definitely was a nod to whether or not that this might be a thing that they're going to be doing with Luther.
It's a TV movie, right?
It is
a TV movie.
I just found kind of his angst was a little bit too much for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give away the movie, but in the series, it's you kind of expect it in a TV detective series, as in, you know, there's so many TV detective series where the guy is grizzled, you know, he's got a difficult past, and yet he's the only one out there that, you know, even in Bosch, like, it's a mission, you know, it's not a job, it's a life choice, you know, that kind of life choice crack. I love how my voice is changing.
Yeah, I know, I'm a little bit frightened, but okay.
I know, it's very strange. It's like,
is there a moon? Is there a full moon?
I'm not even doing it consciously. But those are the kind of things that you have, you know, they're hard bitten, they've got problems,
yeah,
and yet they're still there.
It takes all those.
It does, and he does that in the series, but something, this, I think maybe it was that the story was so OTT that you were kind of like going, would you not leave it to the lads? Like, there's how many people in the Metropolitan Police? I'm imagining
at least 10 or 12.
But maybe
one would
the
think
story,
there's at least 10 to 20,000 Metropolitan Police officers.
Well,
and I was like,
they're
one
dropping
of them,
like flies given what they do on the job. But anyway, I take the wider point.
One
but
of them could give them a hand. Like,
do you think, though, they potentially try and get away with that because the story's so outlandish, really, that, you know, we're not really supposed to try and ground it in reality because it really is, it's quite far fetched. And there's some such convenience things that happen to progress the plot and the case and stuff.
Yeah. So I just think, I suppose in the TV show as well, you kind of knew all the characters in it. Whereas really, there's only two characters back, which is Luther, and there's one other character that's
Bossman, really,
that's coming from the thing. Yeah. So I think that's part of it as well. You know, there was a couple of characters that came into it, and I'm like, I've only met these people 30 seconds ago. Why do I care about
it? The baddie was really, like, it's spectacular if you watch it, Michael, in what the protagonist compels people to do and how he doesn't. I can get it, but just for it all to work out, like, precisely how he intends, and then
too contrived to be. Yeah, but is it just escapism? Are you meant to just switch your brain off?
I think TV movie is definitely
the point I was trying to make. Because then when you think, well, you know, the best minds in the Met could sort this out, but I think they've taken us to a point of fantasy that we're supposed to not. I don't know, but that's how it feels. But that being said, I actually enjoyed it, and I enjoyed his story within what everything went on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So where we pick him up, the
well,
journey he went
through.
Well,
he is very good.
And if it continues as a series of movies, will you be there for them? Will you watch them?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would definitely give them one more, but they'd really want to pick up on the, like, a lot of great explosions, good fight scenes, that kind of stuff in it, you know what I mean? But they definitely need more depth to their.
You're just dying to do the gravelly voice again. Do the gravelly voice
more
again.
More depth.
They need more. No, I can't do it when I'm doing it. They need more depth to the storytelling.
The fight scenes are a bit poor.
There you go.
I don't. Yeah, but I know what you say. He's good. His stuff is good.
He is
but
very good.
A couple of other people in it. So, listeners, what did you think? Have you watched Luther the Fallen Son? We want your reviews, your views. 086 60 25,000. Anything else that you're watching? It's that time of the year, really, where, unless we're talking about snooker, that's all I'm going to be watching for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So, EastEnders, which is the price, not EastEnders, but Coronation Street and Emmerdale, which is the price I pay
to watch snooker.
Sit up to watch. To 12 to watch snooker. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, be that as it may, everything's a currency. What would you give it out of 10?
For me, I would much, if you want to sit down and you've never experienced it,
go
back and watch the series. 100%. The series is much better. I would have given the series like 8.5, 9, that kind of thing. I really enjoyed
really
the series
Moorish,
along the way. It really was. This, I kind of was saying, like you say, sort of a TV movie. You're grand, you're sitting down, you're looking for something to watch. There's a little bit of action in it, a little bit of this, that, and the other. Sit down and watch it. So I'd really only be saying like a 6 or 7 on it. For me, that's what it was.
And you know what I'm interested in is real proper Luther fans, what you think if you watched it. I am a Luther fan. I kind of was a little bit disappointed with where it went. But then again, I come out of it and I did enjoy it. But I'm glad I didn't jump in the car and drive for 40 minutes to go and see it.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't sorry I watched it. You know, the way there's some things you're like, oh God, I'm never going to get that time back. It wasn't like, it's not that it's bad. It's just, If you sat down and watched this and didn't know anything about it, you'd actually say, oh God, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's more in the comparison
to the series
and what was there.
And I think what saved it for me is I liked Luther's sort of journey through it, the character itself, because everything else that went around it was a little bit, I don't know. Right, okay, so that's Luther the Fallen Son. It is on Netflix, and if you haven't spotted it yet, Netflix will remind you of it on a regular occasion. Another one I actually watched was The Boston Strangler. I'm interested in that, so we might do that one as well, not making it all about me. So The Hunt for Raoul Moat. Raoul Moat, this is another one of those stories, right? And we've had a couple of these of late where we watched it and followed it as it happened. And now it's become
a dramatization.
I remember this story. Yeah, somebody else was recommending
this
it
is
to
the
me.
One Gaza was involved in. This
yes,
story.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's
down
right.
To the riverbank and
he came down
stuff,
with the right fishing pole
so
and all this.
The right
I don't
one,
fully
yeah.
remember this story, but somebody else was recommending the series to me, and I was like, oh.
July 2010 in Newcastle.
Need to do it in her voice.
It's July 2010.
Where?
Raoul Moat gets out of prison.
Okay, go back there to yourself now.
So he, it's a really grim, horrific story that ran for a week in the national papers in the UK. And it was, I do remember some of it. I remember the showdown, which I think most people remember very well. So this three-parter on ITV during the week looks at the story. Raoul Moat got out of prison. He had been threatening his ex-girlfriend, who had been trying to move on with her life. And 2 days after getting out of prison, he tracked her down and he shot and killed her new partner. He shot and injured her. And then he went on a crime spree around Newcastle. And he shot and seriously injured another police officer. And then he released a letter to the press. Well, he sent it to the press. They delivered it to the police, where he said he was going to get back at all the police who he said had ruined his life. Now, he was in prison for 4 months, having hit his own child, his 9-year-old child, so badly that he was...
Not a nice character.
Not a
but
nice
that
character.
That being said, a bit of an anti-hero for some people.
This is the thing. Yeah. So what... I went into this because I love, you know, the Martin Clunes Manhunt series. So I went into this sort of blind thinking it was going to be a procedural like that. And it wasn't. So I was disappointed by that aspect. But I did find myself really compelled to watch this because it's not so much about the police aspects of it, the chasing, but it's about the victims and it's about the impact that Raoul Moat had on the...
Is that what you wanted, though?
Now,
that
what I
is
wanted.
A nice thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's, we're looking at it from a different angle and they did the same with Dahmer, I believe, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah, okay, they so did, they looked
right?
at
So it was very victim-focused.
Victim-focused.
And it's real and I have great sympathy for everything his victims went through.
Yes.
But I
it's
actually
hard
probably
watching.
Did want to see
the police
the hair
proceed.
And the...
Yeah.
Pound.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know what I mean,
I,
if I'm just
I would
honest.
Have given it a higher grade if it had been the police exclusively, or even the journalist. There's a good character, a journalist in this, obviously a real person. But instead, you get about a third of the time is spent with the suffering of the families. And it's done in a respectful way.
I get it.
It's not salacious. It's not, like, they don't show the actual murder, for instance. They cut away. You know, they're not trying to be that way. They're not trying to get viewers by doing that kind of thing. But yes, they do show the family of the man who died and they show the woman in hospital who was shot on the night and how she recovered. And they also look at the policeman and the effect that had on the various police. I wasn't expecting that. I read the Guardian review this morning. Not that many reviews out there for this, which is surprising, but they liked it. They gave it 6 out of 10. I'd give it more. But they did say that it's sad, sad viewing because the casting at the start, the first half hour is about the couple meeting, and because you spend a half hour with them and the casting is really good, you can't help but get invested.
Yeah, because I would like to see how that story unfolded from the media might focus on effectively.
Yes,
and they from my brief reading on it, they went out of their way to make sure that they didn't in any way glorify.
They did. They did, yeah. He's in it to a lesser degree than I would have expected, and you don't get his POV very much at all, which is fine. What's interesting about the story, which you alluded to, and which I find quite disturbing, and I don't think I knew this from 2010, almost immediately there was a Facebook group, and there was a lot of online support for Raoul Moat, and a lot of people calling him, you legend, you're a hero, you're taking on the coppers, it's great that you're... And if my woman did to me what his woman did to him, oh man, I wish I had the strength to go after all this kind of
scary,
stuff.
Scary, scary.
They had something like 30,000 followers on the Facebook page before it was
and
taken down.
And can you imagine
down.
If that was now?
Oh, to be worse, yeah, agreed, I saw that.
Multiply that.
Multiply
millions,
it, yeah. So that aspect comes up, and I thought they dealt with that very well in the story, and they the family of the victim seeing this online and coming to terms with the fact that there was widespread support for this guy. There's even a scene in a pub where people are having a sing-song where they've changed, they've put Raoul Moat's name into a song and they're all kind of rousingly supporting.
That's the way it was, yeah.
So that's bleak. I mean, I was chatting about this with my housemates in the kitchen and I was coming downstairs going, man, I'm watching a really heavy show up there. I mean, this is really heavy. Because you're kind of looking, my God, it's a bleak side of human nature that they would embrace
but
a guy
see,
like this.
And before we get to the conclusion, really, of your review, Fanula, often, you know, the criticism of program and film makers is that it exploits the victims, you know. And,
yes.
and we've talked about that an awful lot here. And yet here I am arguing that I would probably like to watch it. Do you know that sort of
I
way?
Know,
but it's what's entertainment and it's what...
So
yeah, exactly.
I didn't realize this was a dramamentary or whatever they call it now when they do the... And yeah, where they do the things together. But no, I mean, you were mentioned the Jeffrey Dahmer one, and that is one thing that came out that a lot of people were saying that it went too far in the Dahmer police and didn't give enough attention. You know,
I might be mixing up with.
Well, there's been
program.
So many.
There's been a lot.
Now. Yeah. There's been a lot of them, but the latest one I think that was on. I'm going to say Netflix. It could have been on Disney. It was on one of the streaming channels, probably the better way to phrase it. There was a lot of talk on that they went for the gore. They went for, you know, the way they went for that kind of like...
But they presented that was what the victims went through and we often don't realise it. So
that,
I
know, but I think
both.
It was, you know, if you're a family member, whatever.
Oh, 100%.
Like
that.
Yeah. But so I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing this. Like I said, it was...
Family, yeah, I think...
I'm slightly less looking forward to it now than I was before you started talking about it. And that's why I like Honest Interviews. I probably still will watch it, but I was looking forward to this because I wanted the
police aspect.
I don't want to sound insensitive here, but I might as well speak like I would here as a one-off radio.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, like, say, for instance, the time of the Boston Marathon bombings, you know what I mean? I found that how they tracked them down and how they got them into custody, that, you know what I mean? That's from a watching a TV show perspective. I watched that and,
that's how I feel about the
procedure in real life of how they got
people
after.
I feel about the Martin Clunes show, Manhood. I mean, I've given that 10
out
of 10.
Based on real stories.
Stories as well. I'm hoping there'll be a third series of that. But in that show, it doesn't sound exciting, but you do just see him looking at hours and hours of videotape, reading through hundreds of files, and it's done in a way that's gripping. And I read a review of Manhunt again during the week because I really missed that show. And somebody said it is the best show on TV because, unlike the fictional detectives, he doesn't use 17th century poetry to solve his crimes. Yeah. He's not an opera fan. He's not anyway quirky. He's a guy who sits down and looks at videotapes and he keeps at it and keeps at it. And that's what Colin Sutton, the real man whose memoirs the series is based on, did by all accounts. So yeah, that box wasn't ticked for me.
So what are you giving it out of 10 then, Mr.
I give this
Levy?
An 8 because it was sobering, it's intelligent, it's well made, but it's heavy going.
Yeah.
3 hours, like, I split it over a couple of nights. 3 hours might be a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Seriously, I mean, it's heavy going.
Look, I had to watch Luther in two parts.
There you go, so anyway.
Can I talk about how this is a changed man? When we first met this man,
I didn't watch documentaries.
Spell documentary.
He's really grown as an individual.
Grown
he has,
as a human being.
As a human being, I think
what
so.
And it's
all
to your
down.
Life.
It's all down.
Yeah, the growth that we have
true.
Helped you.
Don't deny it.
Helped
Michael.
You acknowledge is unbelievable.
I was just watching cartoons. I know.
I know. Last week you had a documentary as well, and it's beyond the beyonds. What we've given him, Greg, I
know,
think is what's significant
it's
about this.
It's immeasurable.
You couldn't put a financial figure on it.
You couldn't.
And Highland Radio hasn't.
And
so there you go.
Don't even try to.
Don't even try to. Exactly. There you go.
Right, okay, come here. So far we've got a 6 or 7 out of 10 in Luther, The Fallen Son.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're not trying to drag someone to the TV to watch it, but I think we both recommend watching it if you like that stuff.
Yeah.
And The Hunt for Raoul Moat on ITV, something a little bit different. Now, often too, we come at things with our own perspective. Someone might watch this and get something completely
different.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to hear from someone who had a different take
on it. That's why we do this, because it's subjective. All right, 100%. Keep your texts coming into us, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts that number. Give us a call on 07491 25,000, or if you're watching on social media, feel free to drop in a comment there as well. Back with more from Michael and Fanula after we take these messages. Obsessed on Netflix, very steamy. Okay. Well, we'll have to see if
Hide Granny. Granny can't
we'll
watch
have
that.
We'll have to see if that will pass the
Granny test.
No, I can't be watching bold activities on Netflix.
Yes, so. But I mean, I don't mind.
What's the name of that again?
We also
Obsessed?
Have to figure out how you manage your viewing history.
Is that O-B-S-E-S-S-E? Obsessed?
E-S-S-E-D.
Excellent, good job.
Watch Blue Lights on BBC, police drama set in Belfast. Thought it was very good. I recommend you watch it.
I've heard good things about this.
I missed it, and then I caught the second one, or third one in, I think it was, and I was like...
I've seen a couple of reviewers say that it's way better than you would expect a show like this to be. Mm. That it's actually, you know, way better than they were expecting going in. Because it's like just a procedural, isn't it? It's about cops on the beat.
It's like about four rookies that have just like after coming out of whatever's the equivalent of...
the academy? The equivalent of the academy? Yeah.
Police. Yeah, the police academy. The police academy.
All right, Kevin's been on to us. Luther, nothing without his jacket cape. Too late for Bond, I think we agree. There is a Superman costume going spare, though, I'm told. By the way, did you know that yesterday was National Lookalike Day?
Oh.
Who would you and TV2 resemble? What a brilliant question.
That is a great question.
Now, I'm here for the content people. We couldn't come up with that.
That's a great question.
Right, so,
I know.
I don't know.
Do we have to say who we ourselves look like or who we
should,
think?
But I would like the listeners maybe to get involved, but I don't know if my feelings can cope with it. So, but if you want
I only ever get Mary Harney. I used to always get Mary Harney. You look like Mary Harney. But the hair was a little bit
Did you ever use that to your advantage? Try and get in somewhere?
How could you?
I definitely want to have a conversation really? With you about how exactly. I would use that to my advantage.
And a bit of political history might do you no harm. Okay, so if you think any of us, and I'll put the other two on camera as well, have a celebrity lookalike. I'm just going to get absolutely hammered on this. If people can be bothered to take their phones out, I'm going to get hammered on it. 086 60 25,000. Who are our doopledangers? Reminds me to say, he says that Dead Ringers on Apple is on tonight with Rachel Wells playing twins from a show that originally had Cork native and just happens to live in a pink castle as you do. Jeremy Irons from the same name of the film. Kevin, as always, thank you for that.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. So come here before we move on. We have, and the majority of people listening, of course, won't know what we have. It is a beautiful, hard blue bottle. Shop LK, love shopping Letterkenny, Letterkenny Tidy Towns. Caring for our local environment. It's a reusable water bottle and it's of really, really high quality. It's about 15 to 20 quid's worth to me, although I don't really buy these.
I don't
things.
Know, but I,
so, but why are we holding this?
We are holding this. Anybody might have seen it if they don't see, haven't seen it online, they might have seen it in the local papers. It was launched a few weeks ago when the Tidy Towns, Letterkenny Tidy Towns, launched their agenda and projects for 2023 into 2024. So this is one of the things the Chamber of Commerce always gets behind the Tidy Towns, and one of the things that we've done this year is we have produced this water bottle which we are giving away for free, and it's just really to try and get people to reuse, recycle, that kind of thing. A lot of people don't like even the plastic bottle water bottles.
Yeah.
The hard plastic bottle water bottles that come out.
With the best will in the world, they do get a wee taste off them.
Well, I found you get a great run, maybe for 6 months or whatever with them, and then they don't.
I'm not dissing them. I'm just saying it's my own personal opinion.
No, well, this one is the start of a campaign. What we're hoping to do is to put actual taps in certain spots around Letterkenny, so that when people are out walking or even just out and about at their general day, that they can fill them up as they're going
Brilliant.
Around. So that is the plan as part of a larger campaign. So we have a couple of them here. I was supposed to be drinking out of it, but to be honest,
but you know what?
I had tea instead this morning.
Yeah, we'll go with the full-on plug rather than the casual plug.
Exactly. So I have a couple of them if you want to give one or two
away.
Yeah,
well, definitely. We definitely will. If you want to win one of them, we'll give two away, yeah?
Yeah,
if you're interested in it, just text your name and where you're from. We won't ask a question. And they're really high quality and they are available, or people might see
people
them
are
out
passing
about
in
County.
By the chamber, and you'll see them in a lot of different places where they have left a
but
few
they're really
of them.
High quality. Like, I'm surprised you...
Oh, I definitely think
investment.
They could have sold them if they wanted to, but they are giving them away. Yep, and they're a lovely blue colour, little black top, and they have the lovely hook that you can, if you're out walking or if you are... you can hook them onto your bag if it's going, even for going to work, going to school, different things. That's just the instructions that's inside.
You see, Caroline put water in mine.
Oh.
But left the instructions in. Oh. So I'm not going to try that. I'm not sure you're supposed to drink the instructions.
I'm assuming not.
Okay, but listen, that's great. I think that's a really, really nice initiative. And I really like the idea, and I think I heard this at a town council meeting quite some time ago, of access to public water access.
Well, this is what they're hoping to do, yeah, that this is what it is.
Okay. Brilliant idea. As a pedestrian and who does big circles.
It takes a while to get it over the line, but if they're talking about it, that's a great sign.
Well, you have to make sure, because obviously for health and safety and that kind of thing, you have to make sure that everything is done fine. But this is the start of it, and we're hoping that before the end of the year that there'll be at least one kind of, I think at the moment, and forgive me, Tony, if I'm wrong, they're looking at the kind of community centre area, because you've so many people there going to sports, you know, doing events, different things like that. It's very much part of the circle. A lot of people meet there and then do a circle of the town and that kind of thing with their walk.
A lot of people, but not you or me.
Now,
maybe.
I see them
maybe
and I go,
Michael.
Oh, yes, but I don't know. Oh, Michael does loads of walking. Yeah. Now,
I clean the windows so I can see them clearly out from the window.
I drive around and admire them for their strength and endurance.
You're giving moral support.
All right. Exactly. Okay, so listen, just text in your name, where you're from, and we'll select two of you to win one of these reusable Shop LK water bottles of really high quality.
Or if you think I look like a really good celebrity.
Yeah, exactly.
complimentary celebrity.
Can I just say, by the way, let me be very clear to add on to what Fionnuala is saying there. We are very open to bribes. Incredibly open to bribes. So any complimentary suggestions as to who we might look at also. Yes,
believable and complimentary. Exactly. These are the two. That would definitely get my vote.
Now, there's no point saying Michael looks like Gal Gadot or whoever is Wonder Woman currently. There's no, you know,
I hear that a lot, Greg. It's funny you should pick that up.
Realistic.
Yeah. You look a lot like Jennifer Garner, but I suppose you hear that too. So.
I do. Yes, I do indeed.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so as I say, any actual text at this point, you will be able to
get
winning
a bottle.
One of these bottles. We have two, thanks to El Presidente, two to give away as part of this Shop OK Letterkenny Tidy Towns initiative. And I suppose the whole idea of it is to try as much as we can, I think, to get our minds in the reusable space, but to get those plastic bottles off the streets, which sit around for forever, effectively. They just don't go away. All right, more from Michael and Fionnuala shortly, but The Examination is an award-winning production by Broken Talkers, exploring mental health and human rights in the prison system. It's performed by Broken Talkers' Gary Keegan and stand-up comedian and former prisoner Willie White, the latter. I'm delighted to welcome onto the programme today. Good morning to you, Willie. How are you keeping?
All good, Greg. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you with us. Right, OK, so how long have you been a comedian and former prisoner is what I've been given to describe you as. I mean, are you comfortable with that? Were you a comedian before or what?
I think I was a comedian in prison also, but started getting paid for it when I got out of prison would be probably the best way to describe it. I was originally on a program from Des Bishop's Joy in the Hood, which he went around to all disadvantaged areas, I say that very loosely, and taught people comedy workshops. And then they went in front of their friends in a local community center or community hall and performed a bit of stand-up. So that's really how I got into stand-up. And that was after being released from prison in 2001,
What was your, you speak quite openly about, you know, your life before prison. Prison and the purpose of prison really is the ethos of it really is about rehabilitation, isn't it? You pay your you do your time for your crimes, but the whole idea, I presume, is that you come out a better person for it. But maybe society doesn't view prisoners like that.
No, I think there's a completely different view on prisoners. I think there's always that stigma and there's always that kind of cliche: once a prisoner, always a prisoner. And you know, I would be probably the first to say that a lot of prisoners do not get reformed. A lot of prisoners come back out of prison with the revolving door syndrome, is that they come back out and they very soon, with no rehabilitation, no skills of how to come back, going back in again, end up going back into the prison system.
And I'm sure you've seen people as well that have gone into prison, Willie, for relatively, you know, for not necessarily very serious crime, but leave prison perhaps to go into a life of more serious crime, in that, you know, it doesn't necessarily rehabilitate people. It can actually tool them up for a life of more serious crime.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. I've also seen lads go into prison with no addiction issues, come out with addiction issues. And with addiction issues comes crime, because you need to feed that addiction. And one of the ways to feed that addiction, if you're not holding down a really good full-time job, is to commit crime. And when you commit crime, criminality, you know, is what does that. And with criminality and crime, unfortunately, prison ensues, you know.
Mm. And what was your experience like? I mean, obviously we can't go through it all now, but I mean, your life before prison, your time in prison, and since you've been released, could you summarize that journey for yourself? I mean, do you feel you were sort of society left you with on a path that would end up you being in prison, if that is the case? How was prison and your time since?
I wouldn't go so far as to blame in society for my problems and my issues with prison. I came from a decent enough background regarding my mother and father having jobs. Excuse me. My father, unfortunately, liked to drink, and there was a lot of violence at home, and there was a lot of dysfunction, which led to childhood trauma on my behalf. And when I started taking drugs at a very young age, it was a blanket of comfort, and it took me away from everything that was going on at home. So that was really why I started to take drugs. I never had any intentions of growing up and, you know, pursuing the life to be a full-time drug addict or criminal. I had different dreams and different aspirations. Probably to be on stage more so, you know, performing, whether it was acting or whether it was singing or something like that. I was always kind of very talented as a young kid. Mm. But unfortunately, the drugs snatched that and took that all away from me. And then late on in life, I ended up on my drug of choice, which would have been heroin and crack cocaine, and took me down a really, really bad path. I ended up in numerous psychiatric hospitals. I ended up homeless on the streets. I ended up in a lot of prisons. And my life just went into complete turmoil from me taking drugs. So realistically, at the end of the day, the drugs were just a short-term solution to a long-term problem.
And as you've indicated, your time in prison could have been the end of you, effectively, but you've come out the other end. What was different for you compared to the other people you'll have seen that perhaps their life, their addiction, their mental health declined, and then they're released from prison and their life just either ends or goes nowhere? What was different for you, do you think, Willie, that has seen you come out of prison and move forward with your life?
Well, Greg, I was very fortunate on the last prison sentence that I'd done. I was released from prison in April 2001. And when I got released from prison in April 2001, I had in prison found the 12-step program, which I attended and still do attend. And I was very, very fortunate that I got an understanding of my addiction. I got an understanding of why I took drugs. I got an understanding that I could live life without the use of any substance whatsoever. And I started attending these meetings, and I knew then, when I asked for help in the prison, which was probably the biggest thing that I'd ever done, when I went and asked for the help, that the help was there for me. And I eventually got myself drug free and sober, and have been for the last 22 years.
Well done.
And there's not a lot of lads that avail of that. There's a lot of lads that are very, very fearful of letting go of the drug of choice. They're afraid that they can't deal with life on life's terms. They can't deal with stuff that has happened to them in the past, be it, you know, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, or a traumatic period in their life. I was ready to kind of face that and get myself together and recover. So
Willie, how much of your life has been, thankfully, a good period of it since not, but how much of your life then was difficult between what you went through in the family home with your father's drinking, then of course, on the pathway with drugs and the time in prison up until your release? So how much of your life does that distressing time take up?
Hook up all my life till the age of 29.
I mean, it's tight, isn't it?
Yeah, if we be really honest, like, don't get me wrong, I've had periods of time where things were genuinely okay in my life, yeah, and were manageable, and, you know, that I wasn't really in the full realms of active addiction and living a chaotic life, so to speak. But I mean, for most of my life since I was a young child up until I eventually got drug free at 29, I've had some sort of issues going on, be it family, be it internal stuff that I've had to deal with, and just couldn't deal with it. And the only solution for me was to bury my head in the sand with drugs. And when I took drugs, it just took me away from everything that was going on, you know?
Do you think we'll get on to the play in a second, but just whilst I have you, do you think then we, and you only have to look under an article about someone who's been imprisoned, what people think, lock them up, throw away the key, this, that, and the other, scumbag, you know, all the usual stuff.
Yeah,
do you think we are, do you think we as a general population need to sort of maybe think twice about that, you know, there's nature and there's nurture and all that type of stuff?
Definitely. Of course we do. Listen, I'm not saying that prisons, you know, I'm not saying that prisons are a deterrent from crime. And I'm not saying that prisons are the solution to everything, because, you know, as statistics show, people get out of prison and they reoffend. I think there needs to be more money put into the rehabilitation of prisoners. I think there needs to be more money put into, you know, resources and rehab and recovery for people that are dealing with addiction issues. It's prison serves its purpose. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you have a television in your cell, or it doesn't matter whatever prison. The prison sentence is that you're taken away from society where you've done damage to some, you know, to a person or to a facility or something like that, and you're taken away from the people that you love, and you're taken away from your freedom, and you're locked up. So it's,
you lose your liberty and everything and everything that goes with that.
It's by far a holiday camp. Like, as we say in the play, I mean, I don't know any holiday camps that you can go in and that you're locked up at 7 o'clock in the evening, like, you know.
So the examination, you bring it to On Green on this coming Tuesday, the 25th of April. I don't have it in my notes here, and I don't really like notes anyway, because I prefer you to tell me rather than me to tell you. Is it is it you? Is it a group of actors on stage? What is the story that you're telling, Willie?
No, the story basically is it's Gary Keegan, who's one of the members of Broken Talkers, and myself. So very, very quickly, it was meant to be a one-man play, which was myself. And it wasn't really working out to the best way that we thought it was going to work out. So we got Gary to read in. And then it aspired that Gary was himself a victim of crime in London. He was horrifically mugged over there. So essentially what the play amalgamated to be was that Gary is an ex-victim of crime. I, myself, am an ex-criminal. He tells his story about what it was like for him and explains the history of the criminal. We talk about the mental health and welfare of prisoners in the Irish prison system. And we also read extracts from people that are actually serving life sentences at the moment in Mountain Prison, and it amalgamates into this amazing piece of theatre. The visuals and the audio that's in it as well, it will just blow people away. It's an amazing piece of theatre. And we also won a lot of awards for it. We won the Best Production Award 2020 from the Irish Times, Best Soundscape Award 2020, the Irish Times. We won the Dublin Fringe Festival 2019 Best Production, and I won Best Actor at the Dublin Fringe Festival at our 700 people.
Yeah, some of the reviews, superbly slippery piece of theatre, that's from the stage. The Irish Times, no easy escapes in Broken Talkers, sly, provocative play. Again and again, says Fest, the examination pulls the rug out from under you. So it's perhaps not everything as it may seem. This is one of those, I think, you need to go along and watch as things 100%. Unfold rather than us try and necessarily set it up. So trust the reviews and get along to On Green on this Tuesday, the 25th of April. Willie White, it's been nice speaking to you. Thank you for joining us, and I'm sure you'll have a full house on Tuesday night for that, because as I say, these awards aren't handed out like sweets either. These are top level awards and great reviews as well.
Greg, thanks so much, and please God you'll come yourself and have a look.
Take care, Willie. Thank you so very much indeed. Two very contrasting entrants into our water bottle competition. And it'll all become apparent as I read out their submissions. It's all right. It's not lookalikes. You can relax. Anne from Ballandrate Lifford says, I would love one, please, Greg. Thanks. No problem, Anne. Getting one. Mm-hmm. And then Niall Carr and Fanner, he's also getting one, but his pitch was interested in water bottle.
I like listen, it. Don't, direct and
Niall,
to the point.
Don't overcommit. We're going to satisfy your passing interest in the water bottle.
Okay, in fact, if they're passing the station, I have them here. They can just drop into the station if they're passing by the station. Yeah.
All right. Colin from Accounts, RT1, BBC2. Is this a co-production?
No, it's an Australian comedy.
Oh, g'day, mate.
Oh, Australian. Oh, I like that. You're segueing into that with no build-up. Jeez. You didn't even realise. That's years of watching Home and Away. Well,
apologies
done
to any Australian.
Any Australians listening. It's a half-hour rom-com, and I love a good rom-com. Like that French Hookup Plan and some of those American shows like Flying Blind. I love a good rom-com when it's done well. This is really good. Half-hour comedy series, Monday nights RT2, or if you're on the RTE player, you can just watch all 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. I watched 5 of the episodes this week, and I'll be finishing it off this weekend. Mm-hmm. Completely smitten with the show. The couple that stars in this show, they created it, they wrote the episodes, and they're married in real life. Mm. But I don't think it's their story somehow.
That's amazing.
I don't think it's their story. Patrick Bramall is the guy I watched this because of. It was recommended to me last week. Patrick Bramall is on a show I love, an American show called Evil, which is a fantastic show about priests fighting demons. It's scary. You would hate it, Fionnuala. But he's on that as the husband of the main character. I had no idea he was so funny. I had no idea he was so good at comedy, or that his wife was so funny or so good at comedy. It starts off with a great, very original meet cute, as all these rom-coms have to start. Mm-hmm. He's out driving. She's a pedestrian. They don't know each other, needless to say. Something happens, which I won't give out, won't spoil it, but he ends up hitting a cute stray dog. It's her fault, he maintains. She runs back. They get into a sort of a squabble about this dog, which is injured. They take the dog to a vet called Yvette, and they get great mileage out of that. So they decide they're going to take care of this stray dog after much toing and froing, and they just then discover it's going to cost $12,000 because the dog has to be put inside a frame. So they end up having to mutually take care of this dog, and that's the plot. That's what drives the series. You have this man and this woman who don't know each other, don't like each other very much at the start, but she owes him $6,000 because he insists that she pay half, and he knows nothing about dogs, so he enlists her to kind of help run, take care of the dog. Then she gets kicked out of her house where she's sharing because the landlord doesn't allow her to have dogs. So the two of them don't really like each other, but they're thrust together, and it's really very funny. And the chemistry, I was reading again some of the reviews. The Guardian review talks about this fantastic chemistry. Usually couples who are together in real life don't have great chemistry on camera.
I don't think they've chemistry at all. Like,
on this show?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they're adorable. They're fabulous. Yeah. Chemistry, it's addictive. And well, the Times review said it's addictive viewing. I found the show. You've seen it as well.
I just watched the first two because I found it on restarting it on BBC.
BBC or show on Sunday nights.
And it's also on, what was last night was Thursday. It's also on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights at 11:15, and it is on Sunday nights at, I think it's 9 o'clock or something.
Audience
like that.
And critics love it. BBC. On Rotten Tomatoes.
I know.
It's big, and it's done very well internationally.
I don't know if it's my thing either, and Fionnuala, I think maybe you're the same.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like rom-coms, if you don't
like rom-coms,
In fairness, I do, and you know, I'm constantly searching for my new half-hour show.
Well, there's only 8 episodes of this.
So, come here, you're giving it 10 out of 10, Fionnuala.
I'm only too into it. It's fine.
We'll wait and see.
It's not that I mean I'm not enjoying it, but I wouldn't be raving about it the way people are raving about it.
That's a double negative, so it means you didn't love it.
Yes, there you go. Double nose, yeah.
I just think I find her character a little bit
adorable.
She's supposed to be
adorable.
Now, if you don't get on with the characters, though, it all falls to bits. Yeah.
Well, she's scatty and she's like all over the place.
Adorable.
And she's kind of a bit rude and drinks too much and does this too much.
They're
and then
Australian. That's the joke.
I know.
I mean,
she's also a junior doctor.
She stays in his house.
Put a prawn on the barbie.
She stays at his house in an episode.
No, but it's a lot of beer.
This will give you an idea of the humor. She stays the first night she stays in his house. She wakes up sort of half sleepwalking, goes to the bathroom, but she's disorientated. She walks into his bedroom, opens the drawer in his dresser drawer, uses that as the toilet, then goes back to bed, hasn't a clue. He wakes up horrified to find that obviously she's used his drawer.
Well, no, he wakes up to see her.
He sees her doing it, yeah. And then she finds out, and she starts about replacing it.
It sounds like situation comedy, too.
Well, it is a sitcom. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know Red Dwarf, you know those shows where you take two characters who shouldn't really be hanging out, but they're thrust together.
Right, okay.
That's what this is.
Yeah, all right. Mixed views on it, and so we only have a minute or two, and I don't know. Do you want to do Boston Strangler?
Well,
in a minute
just
or
that
two?
It's one to watch. I didn't really know anything about it.
I thought this was
it.
Old, and I didn't really know it was brand new because I think it's on Disney, isn't it?
Yes,
and they're
it
not
is.
Brilliant
no, it's
at
a,
marketing.
It's a no, documentary. It's really terrible. No, honest to God, it's not a documentary. Ah. And Keira Knightley's in it, which is very strange. And I assumed it was an old movie as well. And I was saying, I must have missed Keira Knightley doing this back in the day. But actually, it is a brand new movie. Disney have done it. It's another one of these stories where it's kind of a story within a story. So most people will have heard something about the Boston Strangler, or at least that word, those two words put together mean something to people.
Well, we don't have any more time. We're going
to
come back to that next week.
The
funny thing is you see, it sort of tries to give credit to journalists, and I just think we're kind of not in that space as a society at the moment to give credit to journalists. I don't know. Listen,
journalists.
I feel really bad to cut across.
That's
exactly, actually. No, because it's quite interesting because you know, they're all on lifestyle and reviewing vacuum cleaners and stuff.
Yeah,
because
it's when it's set,
But we'll actually maybe start off with that next week because I think a lot of people might be interested in that. Mm-hmm. But for now, and all through this whole hour, the main thing that happened is it started off as just a passing comment about let's go out for an Indian, and now it turns out that both Fanula and Michael are going out for a lovely Indian meal at a restaurant,
tomorrow night.
Looking forward to
Because we're going to see an opera
again
in the theatre. Highly recommended. Warhol. I'm going to mispronounce it. Warhol, I think, or something.
I'm
like
leaving that to you, Fanula.
Well, enjoy it. Lovely to hear
you. Thank
you. Take care of yourselves. Thank you so much to all of you who listened to the show throughout the course of the week. We're back with you on Monday. Thanks to Neve, who assisted Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show. And we're back, as I say, on Monday. John Bresson's coming up around the Northwest next.